there is a little concern that coming into legislative session that there won't be somebody there, you know, representing, the Marine Highway's interest.
Still no commissioner for the Alaska Marine Highway as Alaska's 27th legislature goes to work. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. The Sea Alaska Lands legislation would transfer ownership of dozens of parcels in the Tongass National Forest to the Regional Native Corporation for economic development. The company wants to use these native future sites for ecotourism, energy, and transportation development. Residents and business owners using these lands are worried about the potential impact on some of their favorite southeast spots. Joe Vicknicki reports as part of a Coast Alaska series on the lands issue.
The native future sites represent a different economic opportunity for a corporation that's made its money on timber, construction rock, plastics manufacturing, and wood products. Sea Alaska Executive Vice President Rick Harris says the idea came from the Tongass Futures Roundtable, an ongoing discussion group involving stakeholders and the management of the Tongass National Forest.
We sat right there. The Tongass Futures Roundtable said we need to find new sustainable economic opportunities in the region. And from that, we said, okay, we're prepared to commit, 5,000 acres to do that. I mean, we're stepping away from a certain economic base in timber to 5,000 acres, which may never generate a penny of revenue. But we said we're prepared and committed to try something new and different, and that's what we're trying to do.
Early versions of the legislation proposed transfer of as many as 46 selections of Tongass National Forest land for future sites. Opposition to some of the spots led Senator Lisa Murkowski to propose whittling that number down to 31. The selections are scattered around the region and range from 4 acres to over 1,000 acres. The proposed legislation prohibits mining or timber harvest on the lands. Many of the areas could host new ecotourism businesses. Harris says the corporation does not have any specific plans drawn up.
There are some sites where we think we can do some things that are valuable for the economy of the region by developing renewable energy sites. But many of the sites are identified as cultural or possibly cultural and ecotourism sites. Again, our goal is not necessarily to make money off them, but to do some things that celebrate the native history, culture, heritage, and to actually try to attract a different kind of visitor.
Sea Alaska officials say they are not interested in building large, expensive new lodges or tour facilities. Instead, they envision smaller ship-based tourism excursions to the different locations. And Harris says the future sites could be used to change the visitor industry in Southeast.
And, what we see is when the last cruise ship leaves town, everything shuts down. And we believe that we can extend those visitor seasons and to bring in a different kind of visitor, people that are very much interested in cultural history and are very much interested in experiencing what it may have been like to be a native living in this place at pre-contact, because the irony is we can actually go to some of those sites and envision exactly what that's like.
The corporation is looking at 5 of the future sites for possible energy development. 2 of those are in the Inian Pass area near Icy Strait in Cross Sound. A 2006 report done for the Alaska Energy Authority concluded this area had untapped potential for utility-scale tidal power plants, and it has drawn some interest from other potential developers. The corporation is also interested in a possible new hydropower plant at Josephine Lake in the mountains on southern Prince of Wales Island. And 2 sites with existing hot springs could be developed for geothermal energy. They are at Pegmatite Mountain east of Pelican and a site called Spring Creek Hot Springs at Lake Shalokum north of Ketchikan. Many of the future sites are already used by Southeast residents, businesses, and visitors. As an example, that Spring Creek site on the mainland's Cleveland Peninsula has a rough trail that leads visitors to the site and a Forest Service shelter on the nearby lake. Ketchikan Borough resident Mike Sully says he's apprehensive about that site being privatized.
There's a Forest Service buoy down at the saltwater that people can tie up to, and numerous people do. That's one of the stops that it seems like a lot of the small private tours, kayakers and sailors and people that are in the small touring operation come up in the summer, and they stop by that place because it's free. They can hike up to it. It's a great hike.
Sea Alaska officials say existing uses of the Tongass lands are recognized in the legislation and public access would not be blocked. Other opposition has come from guiding businesses that take clients to proposed future sites. Scott Newman, a Petersburg resident who has a business guiding bear hunters, testified about a version of the bill before the House Natural Resources Committee last spring and says he does not want to see the land privatized.
It's, the delegation's intent to privatize as much of Southeast Alaska as possible to encourage economic growth. But I think that this form of trying to, spur some economic growth is not necessarily going to be good for the communities. It's not going to the people that live in the communities year-round. It's going to a private corporation.
Newman has met with Sea Alaska representatives and discussed his concerns. Some of the sites in the Petersburg area were dropped, and other proposed language could allow permitted bear guides to continue to use the lands. Sea Alaska officials also say residents who traditionally hunt, fish, or gather subsistence foods on the sites will continue to have that access. Another concern comes from commercial fishing groups worried about competition for the fishing resource from visitors brought to the various future sites. Meanwhile, the region's largest environmental group wonders about the lack of specific plans for the lands. Bob Claus, a community organizer for the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council on Prince of Wales Island, says the idea behind the future site seems like a good one, but has not been thought through enough.
There's no specifics about the sites. There's no, when pressed, there's no plan for each one of the places. They don't even know exactly what they're going to do with them. That's not something you want to put into federal legislation until people have thought about it and worked on it for a lot longer than they have so far.
Claus says he'd like to see a congressional field hearing in Southeast Alaska, giving residents in the region the chance to testify on the legislation. Others see the benefit of the corporation looking for other opportunities in Southeast beyond timber harvesting. In the Cake area, one proposed site is Turnabout Island in Frederick Sound, just north of Cake. Mike Jackson, a Cake resident and Sea Alaska shareholder, says it's not a bad idea to have some kind of ecotourism venture there.
Frederick Sound has around about 350 whales that return every year within this area. It goes all the way from out here, from Cake all the way toward Petersburg. There's a lot of humpback whales that come back every year.
Another proposed future site is in Whitestone Harbor near Hoonah. It's a former logging camp that the corporation may look at for transportation infrastructure improvements or even a future connection to the Southeast electrical grid. Some of the most controversial future selections were left off of the list in changes proposed last summer by Senator Murkowski, but could be back in play if the original bill is reintroduced in 2011. If the list gets reduced further, corporation officials say they might ask to restore some of the sites from that original list as well. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
You can hear reports we've already aired on the series by going to our website. The next two stories in the series will look at sacred sites and the bill's congressional future. If you have comments you want to share about the Sea Alaska Lands Bill series, send an email to news@coastalaska.org or check out the guidelines for listener commentaries at khns.org under the community tab. It could be a while before the Alaska Marine Highway System gets a new top official, but a longtime manager is filling in. Former Deputy Commissioner for Marine Operations Jim Beadle retired at the end of last month. His 2.5 years in the post capped a 37-year ferry system career. Transportation Department spokeswoman Mary Soroki says Commissioner Mark Lucan wants to take the time to find the right person for the job.
He's doing what commissioners frequently do. He's asking around, doing typical networking to see who's out there, who might be available, and who's interested.
In the meantime, Captain John Falvey is doubling as deputy commissioner. He's been the system's general manager for about 7 years.
He is the guy who makes sure that the boats float every day, that the terminals run, and that the Marine Highway serves the people of Alaska. So if there's huge policy issues and those sorts of things, Captain Falvey will be brought in.
Transportation Commissioner Lucan has already named his two other deputy commissioners. Stephen Hatter is in charge of aviation, and Pat Kemp will run highway operations. Falvey says he's honored to fill in, but he wouldn't say whether he wants the permanent job.
I think it's very important that I am used in a capacity that best serves the state of Alaska, that best serves the Alaska Marine Highway System via the talents that I have in helping our Commissioner Lucan with, of course, the day-to-day operations of the Marine Highway System.
Whoever is picked will face some major challenges. Officials hope to continue the funding needed to keep a stable schedule while maintaining the fleet. They're trying to figure out how to replace or repair failing engines on the fast ferries Fairweather and Chenega. And they'll seek money for the first of several Alaska-class ferries, a new type of ship to be used for mostly daytime sailings.
Past history has shown that, you know, if they make the wrong decision, that person will get, will have a difficult time with the legislature.
Skagway's Mike Korsmo chairs the state's Marine Transportation Advisory Board.
There is a little concern that coming into legislative session that there won't be somebody there, you know, representing, the Marine Highways interest. But oftentimes Captain Sally participated with the Deputy Commissioner Beadle, in the legislative actions.
Korsmo says he'd rather wait for the right person than rush the process, which includes input from the advisory panel. Soroki says the commissioner is actively looking for a new ferry chief, but he has no firm timetable. For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. Share your local news with anyone. Just send them a link to khns.org. Newscasts from the last week are under the Listen tab. Just click on Archives for older stories.